Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you've ever come to, one of my Bible classes, but if you've spent any time with me in Bible class, you've probably heard me say, we so often want to know why Jesus didn't talk about this or that subject. Why didn't he say something about the things that trouble our times? Why? You may have even said to yourself a time or two, I sure wish Jesus would have talked about fill in the blank. Ever happen? Yes? No? But rather than saying, why didn't Jesus talk about something, we should really be asking, why did Jesus talk about this thing? You know, of all the things the Holy Spirit could have moved the writers of the Gospels to preserve for us, why these? For the last four Sundays in a row, we've heard Jesus talk about being anxious and fearful. You'd think that saying something once or maybe twice might be enough. But why would Jesus talk about this so much? You ever thought about that? Why would Jesus focus on such a subject so much? It's because we all do it. We all get fearful and afraid. Anxiety, fear, worry, concerns, care, apprehension, trepidation, distress. These words seem to sum up what goes on in our lives all the time. It seems like there's always something that makes us anxious, causes us fear and worry, adds to our cares and concerns, makes us apprehensive, causes us trepidation, or puts us in distress. And maybe we get this way because there are so many things in life that are completely out of our control. We all worry, even though Jesus says, don't worry. We worry not just about something, but almost everything. And if Jesus speaks about something so common for us, that must mean it was also very common for the people of his day, the ones who were sitting right around listening to them, to him. Like us, the people then were saying that they didn't want to worry, but at the same time, there were many burdens and cares and concerns and worries that the world laid on them. Like us, there were many things causing them anxiety and fear. So that's what Jesus addresses, a subject that is and has been and will continue to be a common issue throughout history. And what he says this morning, the solution, if you will, is this. Listen to what you see. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Those last two hymns we sang talked about this very thing. Jesus points to the creation and says, when you see the world around you, don't you see my Father's care? Don't you see the concern my Father has for everything all around you? If so, then surely you know. Surely you know that my Father is concerned about you as well. Or does he? Does he really care for the creation? I mean, what do we see in the world all around us? Isn't it often destruction and devastation? Sometimes those gentle breezes turn into something much, much worse. Hurricanes, wildfires, tornadoes, thunderstorms, all of which bring ruin into our lives. Have any of you experienced these kind of things in your life? These kind of natural events? If so, you know how destructive creation can be. On our last vacation, Janet and I got caught in a thunderstorm in the middle of Wyoming. That's not a place you want to get caught in and stuck in. It wasn't very fun, especially as the hail started getting bigger. But it isn't just natural disasters that make us anxious. There's plenty of trouble that come from mankind's failures as well. Homelessness, poverty, young soldiers that fight and die in foreign countries, a dysfunctional political system that seems to grow even more dysfunctional with each news cycle. And on top of that, we have personal day-to-day issues that bring us anxiety. We hear every day we hear voices that remind us about problems that we didn't even know we had. And then they give us advice on how to solve them. Commercials and advertisements are designed to point to what we lack so that we'll buy the latest gadget or healthcare product, want a newer and better automobile or boat or RV or home or golf clubs. We go to Facebook or other social media and see how well all the other people in our friends list are doing, what vacations they're enjoying, how smart and successful their children are. And we wonder why our life is so much less than theirs. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus diagnoses our problem this way. It isn't what we see around in the creation, either the good or the bad. It's what our heart is saying to us. And he does that when he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What we treasure the most is what we'll be most anxious about and most fearful of losing. When we lose focus on Jesus, when we lose focus on what a treasure God has given us in his Son, our sinful and broken hearts will naturally turn to the other things that seem so much more accessible, so much easier to attain. You know, we fool ourselves into thinking that here at last is something we can control. If we just work hard enough, sacrifice our time and energy to attain more money or possessions or more love or adoration of other people, if we can just get that, the cost will be worth it because we'll be more confident and more content. But the solution isn't to make the creation, the world around us, or the things in this, what this world says is most important. That isn't the answer to achieving more peace. The solution isn't how you see the world, it's how you see God. Or more specifically, how God sees you. Because you see, God sees you as his treasure. I know this may sound a bit arrogant or maybe strange, but you are God's wonderful, wondrous treasure. And where you, his treasure, are, that's where his heart is. In fact, that's the central focus of all of Scripture. Not that you're so great and wonderful, but that you are so treasured by God that he would go to any lengths to have you with him forever. The Bible is clear in saying that we are the crown of his creation. When he created man, God gave him something that he gave nothing else. He breathed his own life-giving breath into us. Now that isn't insignificant, because the word used for breath, both in the Old Testament and in the New, is the same word for spirit. God imparted to humanity something divine. No, he didn't make us gods, but he gave us something nothing else has. Gave us his image, something that allows us to have a particular and unique relationship with him that nothing else can. And Jesus seems to emphasize that when he says, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse nor grain, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you? than the birds. According to the Bible, the raven is a bird that can't be eaten and is therefore useless. And not only can it not provide food, it can't produce food. And yet God still feeds them. See, Jesus points to a bird that's considered worthless and says, "Of how much more value are you than the birds?" If you read Scripture rightly, you'll be astounded by how much God loves you, how much he loves such sinful, broken, and fallen creatures. See, Genesis 1 through 3 describes where everything came from, what happened to bring us to the estate we find ourselves in, and what God was going to do about it. After telling us God created all that there is and that our first parents were deceived by Satan, we read this. "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel.'" Instead of destroying us when we chose to listen to the devil, instead of God, God gave us a promise to send one who would do what was necessary to reunite his fallen and yet still beloved creatures. In the rest of the Bible, from Genesis 3:16 to Revelation 22:20, is the story of how God accomplished the greatest rescue mission ever. And even more amazing, he did this even though his most valued treasure, you and me, would continue to reject him. Look at the great heroes of the Bible. We've been kind of hearing about that in the book of Hebrews. What kind of heroes were they, really? Every one of them disobeyed and failed God time and time again. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses and the Israelites in the desert, David, Solomon, all the kings that followed them, they were just people like you and me with all the same weaknesses and faults and foibles because they were all sinners, just like you and me. And even the disciples, those closest to Jesus, questioned, doubted, and when push came to shove, one of them betrayed him, another one denied him, and all the rest deserted him. And yet God was willing to send his heart down to us as his one and only Son Jesus took on our flesh in order to save us from our sins. Jesus' heart was broken as his Father abandoned him while he hung on the cross. And the Father's heart was broken as his Son suffered for you. But the Father and the Son knew that this was the only way to regain the treasure of their heart, you. Knowing that, seeing what a treasure you are to God is the only thing that will put your heart in the right place to see everything clearly. And God even gives us what we need in order to believe, a new heart. God said through the prophet Ezekiel, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you." God has given to you a new heart filled with the spirit that was lost in the fall, a heart that now can see the love that he has for you. And yeah, it's still a rather fuzzy kind of seeing. As long as you live, you're going to struggle. And in those struggles, there will be times when you become anxious and afraid. But it's in those times that God wants you to remember, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your greatest treasure is that new relationship Jesus purchased for you by his death and resurrection. And he did this because even from before creation, God saw each and every one of you as his greatest treasure. Amen.